Good to see everybody. Let's pray. Then we'll get started. We should always lead off in a word of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we just come before you tonight, and Lord, we just thank you for today. And perhaps it was a good day or a better day or whatever kind of day it was, Lord. I just want you to know I'm thankful for it. Because I know in you and my life in you, Lord, there are some good days and there are some days that are better, but there are no bad days, Lord. I know what you have for me. I know what you have for this congregation. I know where my destination is, Lord. And Father, that keeps a smile on my face, joy in my heart, and peace in my mind, Lord. Tonight, as we open up your word, I'm just grateful, Lord, for this book that you said if we read it aloud, that we would be blessed. If we heard it, we would be blessed. And Lord, we would be blessed if we keep it. Well, tonight, we just ask you to speak to us, Lord. Show us what you want us to see. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
All right, so we've seen the first six seals open, am I right?
Yep.
And then there was a pause. And what happened? Five angels showed up.
Yep.
Where did the four angels go?
Four corners.
Four corners, east, north, south, and west. And what happened was everything stopped because the fifth angel had what?
Trumpet.
He had a seal.
Seal.
Yes. And everything stopped, and he had a seal, and he was coming to seal.
144,000.
Okay, I got a question for you. All right.
You do all these trick questions.
last time he didn't word it very tricky.
Now listen, where are we at this time?
In heaven.
We're gone. We're gone. So all this chaos that broke out. In when the six seals are open, there's chaos. Make no mistake about it. Huge chaos. And we're not there. We're gone. We're in heaven. It's the beginning of the tribulation period. So we're not there. But I do, you know, how many were there that were sealed?
144,000.
What ethnicity were they?
Jews.
How do we know that?
It's 12 tribes of Israel.
All right, here's the deal. Who can name the 12 tribes?
I could.
Hold on. Now listen to me. Listen to me closely.
They're in the Bible.
The 12 tribes that are mentioned in Revelation, in this chapter 7. If you can name them, you got to name them in order.
In order.
I got it.
I know the first one.
Huh?
I got it. No.
If we look at it, it's Judah, Dan,
Asher, Gad. Missed it already.
Reuben, Judah, Gad, Asher,
Simeon, Levi.
Hold on, you can't read them.
He's following her. I'm not
Judah,
reading
them. Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Manasseh.
Nope. Judea, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simon, Levi,
Simeon,
Issachar, Joseph, Zebulun, and Benjamin. Yeah. All right?
And James.
How did I cheat?
It's Simeon, not Simon.
Oh, golly.
You got grammatically corrected.
Listen, we're from Texas, all right? We say Simon.
No.
So that's Simeon. And I'm from Texas.
We're from South Judea.
Yeah, Carla. What about started?
Yeah, what happened?
Carla, you got your hand up?
But there's no tribe of Dan, and why is that?
Because Dan is missing because they were the ones not believed to have started idolatry. That's why we went over that last week because that's why Dan is actually missing. We actually went over all the four ladies who bore the four tribes. Who bore the most?
Oh, Leah.
Leah was six, right? And then between the other three ladies, there was six more.
Yep.
Amen? Rachel only had two.
Yep.
And she died.
And she died
the
fifth and
second one.
You guys are good.
Because I just read it that this morning.
I love it.
Did
informed
any of their
congregation.
Servants give birth?
Yes. Yeah. Bella and.
Wasn't it Rachel?
No.
Bella and.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bella Ann. She must be from Texas.
What's her middle name?
Bella
Ann.
Start
with a Z.
Yeah. Zipla.
Zipla.
Thank you.
Oh, you helped him. Good
Thank job. You. Yes. Right on. Yes. Yes. They each had two. Maid servants. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Okay.
So during all them seals and everything, I want you to see this. God comes in. God, who's in charge, by the way?
God.
So all this chaos is on the earth. God sends four angels, man. And he says he holds back the winds,
yep.
So he's holding back all the chaos.
Yep.
And then this other angel came with a seal, and he seals the 144,000. Where does he seal them?
On the forehead.
Bam! Right there on the forehead. That'll make sense later on as we get into this chapter, right? So you got the 144,000, and they're sealed, right? Number from 12,000 from each tribe. And then what happens? Do you remember? I'll tell you what happens. More worship breaks out at the throne. How much worship and praise and singing? Huh? But how much have we seen? And we're only in chapter 7. A lot. A lot of praise. And I want to, just to keep us in the context, I just want to read verse 9 and 10 so that we can continue, because we left off in 11. But I like to keep you, you know, in the context, in the flow of things, because my only goal is that you understand what we're going over. That's my only goal. All right? So verse 7, or chapter 7, 9 and 10. After these things I looked. After what things?
After the sealing,
after the six seals, after the chaos, after the four angels, and the other angel, and all that. He says that after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, I love this right here. Saying or singing or proclaiming, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So who does salvation belong to?
Jesus.
Anybody know what Romans 6:2-3 says? I'll start it. For the wages of sin is death. But the what?
Free gift
of God is eternal life.
So if salvation belongs to God, it is a gift to you and I.
Thank you.
Am I right? A free one. All you got to do is what?
Believe.
Have faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Man. All right. We'll pick up now where we left off. And this is where I want you to know. Everybody's singing. The whole multitude. Remember? Everybody's singing. And then in verse 11 and 12, all the angels stood around the throne. Now, how many people's around the throne right now?
More than you can count.
Multitude.
Anybody ever been in a big group of people and everybody was just singing to the Lord?
Yes.
And you know what it does to you?
Yes.
I mean, it does something to you. I was at a Promise Keepers, and there was probably 1,000 men there, and just hearing all those men sing, it does something to you.
He dwells within the praises of
man. Yes. All right. All the angels stood around the throne, the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying,
Amen.
What does amen mean?
So be it.
So what are they saying amen to?
What they just said.
To salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever.
Amen.
Well, that's a good spot for a couple of amens, right? I wish this pastor could get a couple of amens every now and then.
So be it.
Huh?
So be it.
Amen.
Amen.
Right?
No crying.
Huh? No crying?
Just preaching.
No crying and preaching, he said. All right, so, huh?
Amen.
Now listen, Hal, you're the one that's told me on a couple times you just want to stand up and shout, glory!
Well, do it.
Mm-hmm.
Do it.
If the Spirit says, move.
Move.
All right, so a great multitude, more than you can count, right, are all in heaven worshiping God here, right? So, and the others, after they start singing, if you notice, because that's why I connected the two, when they start singing, that other group feel compelled to join in.
Come on.
Fall on their faces.
And then all created beings around the throne are singing and praising and worshiping God. Man. And here's what they're saying. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might. Man. It's just a beautiful thing for all these living creatures to hear all these other created beings singing, and then they just kind of join in, right? And this great multitude and the living creatures and the elders on the throne and all the angels, they're all singing and praising That's the, I want to go there.
I am going there.
Huh? I want to go. I know you are going there. Okay, I got a trick question for you. So, we got this great multitude who's singing, Salvation Belongs to the Lord, and all that, right? Why are they all singing, though?
Because they just got
you in heaven. I mean,
why are they singing? Why are they praising?
The more you praise, the devil gets away. The more
they love
praise,
the Lord.
You know something? The reality of what they knew before they got there has become greater than they could have ever expected.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know something. Yeah. Remember I told you in the beginning, man, the reality of what we read is not even a good description of what the reality will be.
Amen.
Man, it's going to be. Man, we get there. We're going to start singing. Blah, 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 blah. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Let's look at the identity of the great multitude. Then one of the elders. Now, this is pretty cool. Listen to this very closely. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me. Who's me?
John.
That's right. Saying to me, John. Who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? So the elder is asking John that. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And I said to him, sir, you know, right? I just got here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So he said to me, these are the ones who come out. Everybody say come out.
Come out.
You know why it doesn't say came out?
King James.
They're still coming.
Come out, yeah.
Came.
Well, this hasn't happened yet.
What? Mine are coming out.
But you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This
yeah.
has not happened yet. All right.
So we wouldn't be saying it.
These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
So where did they come from?
Great tribulation.
You mean people are going to get saved during the great tribulation?
Yes. Multitudes.
Multitudes. Beyond numbers that we can count.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't recommend you wait that long.
No.
Because the truth is, you may not make it to the great tribulation. Amen?
Yep.
Or get saved before you die.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So it was important that John knew who these tribulations, who this multitude was, right? But it's almost like John didn't want to ask or didn't know he should ask. So you see the elder
knew,
prompting him.
Prompted him, yes.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
To ask, hey, you know who these are? Well, you know, sir. I hope you know. You know, I just got here.
Make sure John knew.
All right, so these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, the vast multitude from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. These are those who are rescued for God's kingdom. Am I right?
Yeah.
In and during the great tribulation period. Man. You know what that is? Somebody tell you. Because this right here, this picture that you see, all these, the multitude that you cannot count right here, is a statement of God's mercy.
Amen.
It is. Mercy. It is a huge statement. That the church can be taken away. Come on.
He will take his people home. And
have
you still got
chance.
A chance.
And you still got a chance.
Yep.
So that none should perish.
Man.
But it'll cost you.
It will cost you.
Gamble that.
But isn't it cool? Even in this time of judgment, even in this time of chaos, he still extends his mercy to have an opportunity to be saved.
It just goes to show you that the Holy Spirit is still working.
Yeah. Okay, so the 144,000 have been unleashed. They've been sealed. Now we see this great multitude. And that's why I believe that this 144,000 actually played a part in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bringing this great multitude to the Lord Jesus Christ during the great tribulation period. That's why I told you last week, I believe that they were evangelistic.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So they're not just preaching to the Jews. That is their main focus, make no mistake about it. But a little bit of that truth's getting on some other people, clearly.
Yeah.
Am I right?
They're going to see it.
Because this great multitude, it says from every tribe, every tongue, every nation. So you know what a lot of those people are? Anybody?
Gentiles.
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 But a lot of them are Jews.
Yes.
Amen?
Yep.
Yes. All right. Now wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? So those saved, I want you to know, those who got saved during the Great Tribulation got saved the same exact way everybody else got saved.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
By the blood of the Lamb. Is that what it says on it? Yes. By the blood of the Lamb. So listen, even if they are martyred, their martyrdom is not what saves them. All right? There are going to be a lot of people that get killed during the Tribulation period. We're going to see that. But they're not. That don't mean they're going to heaven just because you get killed during the tribulation period.
That's right.
Martyrdom doesn't mean you go to you are going to heaven. Amen. It is only by the work and the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. The same way you and I get saved right now. Amen. I'll read to you something that Spurgeon said about that. He said, "They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Not one of them became white through his tears of repentance." Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
"Not one through the shedding of the blood of bulls or goats." True that. "They all wanted a vicarious sacrifice for none of them was any sacrifice effectual except for the death of Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
They washed their robes nowhere but in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, so when it says he washed their robes white in blood, that is an oxymoron. I challenge you, you know, when you're bleeding, wipe it on your whatever and see if it turns it white. Not going to happen?
Nope.
It's an interesting phrase because we don't usually think of things being made white by blood. Right?
Yeah.
But the blood of Jesus cleanses us. I want to read to you a verse from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. "Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool."
Thank you.
Man, you know what? When I picture this, anybody got a picture of it in their mind?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah? So I see sin, darkness, ugliness, right? And then I see this blood of Jesus and this red blood. He takes it and he goes, whoosh. And then what do you see?
Afterward, it's white.
White.
Right.
Nothing. Right? Clean. Clean. I know I'm a sinner. Sin today. Probably more times than I can count, probably, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? In God's eyes, when he looks at me through the blood of Jesus Christ, he doesn't see those sins.
Without blemish.
Thank you.
Without
Lord.
Blemish.
Thank
Man.
You.
Son of a gun. All right, verse 15 through 17. This is what the great multitude does and how they are blessed right here. "Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Amen. Listen to me. Can I say something here in all honesty? If you don't want to serve the Lord now,
you ain't going to have no fun.
I don't know why you want to go to heaven.
Come on.
I don't, man. Because if you have a hard time serving him here, man, that's all we're going to be doing there. Right?
Woo-hoo!
Night and day.
So be it.
In his temple. Man.
Amen.
"And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them." Wow.
Oh, wow.
Did he just say,
dwell among them?
Mine says shelter them with his presence.
That we will dwell with him who sits on the throne.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
"They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear Amen. From their eyes."
Amen.
Mm. See, that's what I look forward to.
Yep.
And listen, if you have that as a part of your reality, a part of your truth, and a part of your focus, I'm just telling you, man, if that's your focus, everything else that comes into life, yeah, there's struggles, there's problems, and there's all kinds of tribulations and things we've got to deal with. But I'm looking for that day Mama Linda just talked about. I'm going there. And if I can just keep my focus on this and him, man, everything else just seems to be out of focus.
Yeah, unimportant.
Huh? Unimportant. I just gonna deal with it. I just gotta deal with it. I can worry about it, be anxious about it, get angry about it, right?
Yep.
Or I can just deal with it. Just deal with it.
With the peace he gives us.
Huh?
With the peace he gives us.
Yes, just deal with it, man. You think that you ain't going to have no more troubles? No more trials? No more tribulations? No more struggles?
Not till I'm at the throne.
Not till you walk out that door.
This is probably one of the greatest therefores in the Bible.
It is. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And what is it there for?
Because he just listed all these things that these people would have gone through.
Yes.
Thirst, heat.
Yeah.
Starving.
And no more of that.
No water.
Yeah.
No shelter.
And now they're, like you said, they're in the presence of, they know, they've come to that realization, they never have to worry about that again. So these people would appreciate that probably even more so than, you know, because they just went through that. They came out of that.
Yeah. So has this happened yet?
No.
But it will happen.
Yes.
Why do you think we got this then? Because he said in the beginning, if you read this and you hear this and we read it aloud and we go through it, you will be blessed. This will bless you because this speaks directly to your future.
That's right.
That no one can take away. Amen. No one can take away. You're going to get there. You are going to get there. Some of you sooner than others.
Yep.
We're going to all get there, man. We're going to get there. I'm going to get there.
Well, it just always reminds me of everything we learned going through Isaiah. Right? If that happened, it's going to happen.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
It's just...
And remember, the reality of what we're reading here, it's going to be far, far better than John's description of it. I'm just telling you, man. He's doing his best to write it in a way that you and I can understand it. So they came right into the throne room of God, did they not? Yeah. You know what I like? No barriers, no waiting room, no purgatory.
Yeah.
Right? What did the Bible say? To be absent from the body?
Praise the Lord.
He told the thief on the cross today, I want to read something to you. Think about this for a minute as Spurgeon wrote this. So these saints knew affliction, did they not?
Yes.
And they triumphed over it. But it wasn't their affliction that saved them. It was Jesus and their relationship of faith in him. Affliction of itself does not sanctify anybody.
Nope.
Did you hear me? Can I say that again?
Mm-hmm.
You were not sanctified in your affliction. Oh, but the reverse. I believe in sanctified afflictions, but not in sanctifying afflictions.
Amen.
You hear me? Oh, man. There's no sanctifying afflictions. Come on.
Nope.
All right, some of y'all pick that up later
when you're in an affliction.
And you're going, oh, God.
Lord, carest thou not
not that we perish. All right, so how often do they serve him?
Amen.
Where at?
In the throne.
And who are they? They're the redeemed of God. That's you and me. Amen? So I don't know exactly how they do it. This is what I got. And listen, this is all I got. But it's going to be, oh man.
Find out when we get there.
It's going to be beautiful, my friends. It's just going to be beautiful. I can only tell you what's going on here. Amen? We know that heaven is a place from rest. We know it's a place of rest from our works, right? But it's also, according to this scripture right here, it is a place of privileged service.
Amen.
Privileged service. All right. He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. So in heaven, God will dwell with his people, right?
Yep.
And you know, when I read that, I thought about David's psalm and the ultimate fulfillment of King David's greatest desire in Psalm 27:4. And this is what he said. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
Amen.
Wow. You know, Revelation wasn't written when David wrote that.
No.
But it sure does line up pretty dang good, doesn't it? All right, it says, wait a minute. Not only are we going to dwell with him who sits on the throne, it also says, the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. Amen?
Yep.
So in heaven, the redeemed, which is you and I, we're going to know the loving, care, compassionate, right?
Wow.
Of our loving Savior, the nurturing of our Savior. Here's what it says. It says, He will protect us from every affliction. They shall not hunger anymore, thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them. I'm happy about that. Sun and me and the sun don't get along very good at all. Nor any heat. But He will also provide for every need, leading them to living fountains of water. Amen. What do you think that means? Because I know it means a whole lot more than we're actually getting the reality of.
Other translations say fountains of living water.
Okay, I get that.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry.
But it's not just fountains that you drink water. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It's gonna be way more than that. When you get there, you're gonna go, oh,
symbol.
Oh, that's what it.
No,
it's gonna
be whoa.
Yeah. But I think it is symbolic of how He's gonna take care of all of our needs.
Every physical need that we have here will not even be a thought. Is the way I see it.
And our needs will align with His desire. In other words, it's not that we're gonna get more time to watch baseball. Or time to play golf. I mean, our desires will line up with what God has in mind.
I hope there ain't none of that there. None of it. I don't want anything there that's here. None of it.
Amen.
None of it.
Amen. Except the praise.
Huh?
Except the praise and worship.
No pickleball, man. Listen. 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 Do you not understand what God has prepared for those that love Him? It is way beyond your joy of pickleball, baseball, football.
That's why I can't wait. There
might be merits to some of that. Man,
it's going to be holy.
I promise you, Doug, and I'm going to ask you this later on when we both get there, right? Of course, you're going to beat me, right?
You miss pickleball, don't you, Doug?
You miss pickleball? What? What's that? All right. So in heaven, we're not going to know any more pain, right?
Yep.
No more sorrow. All that's going to be gone. The hurt and the struggles that we face on this earth, all going to be gone. Tears are going to be a thing of the past because it says right here that He will wipe away every tear. Amen. So on this earth, we have our share of pain to endure, don't we? We have our share of struggles, and we will have plenty, plenty more.
Yes.
Plenty, plenty more. And if this world keeps going in the direction it's going, we're going to have plenty, 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 plenty more.
Yep.
Man, but one day, and we'll see this in chapter 21, there will be a new heaven and there will be a new earth. Amen?
Amen.
And He will wipe all of this wickedness away forever.
Amen.
That's what you hold on to.
Amen.
That's where you put your hope.
Yep.
And you know what? That's where your peace and your joy comes from, too. I'm just telling you. All right, that ends chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 9.
No.
Seven.
All right.
Chapter 8.
Let's go to chapter 8 then.
Because that's how He wrote it.
You can't skip to chapter 9? Chapter 9 is easier. There's only two trumpets in chapter 9. Huh? All right, so Revelation chapter 8, we're going to have the seventh seal is open. You mean we haven't opened the seventh seal yet?
No.
Well, wait a minute. The seal started in 6.
Pause.
And we're also going to see the first four trumpets. Amen?
Yep.
I just want you to know there's going to be...
It's going to get downright dirty.
It's going to get downright dirty, man.
And then there's bowls.
Now, this is very cool, and I would love you guys' opinion on what you think about this. All right, so we're going to read verse 1, and what we're going to see here is silence in heaven.
Amen.
Yeah.
There's a joke there.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's no women there.
Yeah. Man, that's proof that men get there first.
I can't believe you said that out loud.
That's funny. I don't care who you are.
Look, if you can't joke around, then I guess, you know, you're stiff.
I didn't hear an amen, so.
Nobody else but me stuck my neck out. All right.
That was a half hour of silence. I was gonna say it, but Doug beat me to it.
Doug was beating around the bush, man. All right.
Yeah, he was.
Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When He opened the who opened the sixth seal, seventh seal?
Jesus.
Why?
Because He's the only one worthy.
You You guys know why I ask you these questions, don't you?
To see if we remember.
I want to reseed them into your head because I want you to remember what we're reading here, man. So when Jesus opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. All right, brief recap. So the sealed scroll was introduced back in Revelation chapter 5. Am I right?
Yeah.
And the seals were opened one by one up to the sixth seal in Revelation chapter 6. But then there was a pause in Revelation chapter 7 as the great multitude and the 144,000 and all that we just went over took place, right? Now, there is another pause after. Can you picture the seal in your mind?
Yep.
And then Jesus is pulling the last one off. The last seal. What's on that scroll?
We don't know.
What's special about it?
It's on both sides.
It's written on both sides. So there's something very special about that scroll. So Jesus pulls that last seal off. And listen.
So he's going to run his breath
away? Don't take everybody's breath away, man. But there is quiet. For a half an hour. Amen?
Long time.
You know what? That silence would be striking.
Mm-hmm. Deafening.
Because you got all this innumerable people praising, worshiping, and all of a sudden, nothing. Just when I say silence, or when God says silence, I want you to know something.
Be silent.
Let's try to be silent. Everybody. In heaven with a million or whatever people.
Well, and all they've ever known is worship.
Day and night.
Day and night.
Yes.
It's
the elders, the living creatures. Remember, what are they doing? They're flying around, am I right?
Yes.
So they ain't flying.
Silent.
Silent mode.
They're on silent mode, which is very well possible because my God is that big.
Yeah. I think what's interesting about this verse is that.
But what's going on here? That's what I want to ask you. Why Jesus pulls the seventh seal off of that scroll and everything is quiet for a half an hour? What do you think? Why?
Anticipation.
My study notes say, anticipation. She said it first. Anticipation.
Okay, anticipation. You can't just answer that because if you have anticipation, there has to be anticipation for something.
Knowledge. You have knowledge of something.
The grim reality of the judgment God is about to unleash.
Oh, okay.
Or the excitement that we're in good.
Or that we're not going to go through it.
Some think it's so that the prayers can be brought in. Mm-hmm. Some people think it's the silence is for the martyrs. But I happen to believe that this silence is an awestruck whoa.
Yes.
Because listen, now that seventh seal, we're going to see this, has been pulled off, that will introduce
the seven trumpets.
Yep. That is the seventh seal. The seventh seal is
prelude to the trumpets.
Yes, the revealing of
the
trumpets.
Of the
and I think, and once we read these trumpets, you're going to go, oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. You know, I want you to think about it, man. A half hour of silence.
It's a long time. Man.
I mean, just think if I come up here one morning and I stood here and I didn't say nothing for a half an hour.
It's a long.
It wouldn't be silent.
No,
there
but I wouldn't.
There's
that.
No silence on earth.
No, there's no way I can do that.
There's no silence on earth. You can be quiet, but there's no silence, no complete, true silence on earth.
Yeah.
Because even when we were all being quiet, I could hear the air conditioning.
But if, even if I just said, hey, we're going to sit here, we're going to be silent for 10 minutes. You know what I say? Awkward.
Yeah.
All right? But it's not awkward in heaven. Everybody knows. Everybody's in the know.
Yes.
They know what's going on. They have this knowledge, and they know because he doesn't say, all right, everybody, be quiet. Am I right?
Yeah. Nope.
That seal gets pulled. They know what's about to happen,
supernatural
man.
Supernatural quiet.
They know what's about to happen. Man. And you know what? Listen. When I read this, it screams God's plan.
Absolutely.
God's in control. It's all just orchestrated brilliantly, man. Brilliantly. Am I right?
Yep.
All right. Seven angels and seven trumpets in verse 2. And I saw seven angels who stand before God. And to them were given seven trumpets. I love my mind's eye. You know why? Because I still have the picture of the throne in my head.
Yep.
The crystal sea glass, the rainbow, the green hues, right? And I can't make out who's on the throne. Why? Because we don't know. He didn't describe us. But I can see the Lamb of God, who looks like he's been slain, standing before Jesus, right? And then I see these angels, it says, who stood before Jesus at the throne. And I can see him going down the line. Can't you see him with seven trumpets in his hand going down the line?
Yep.
Isn't that cool? Because that's what's happening here. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Man, that's beautiful. What does a trumpet mean in the Old Testament? What did they use it for?
They used it for assembling.
They used it for assembling. They used it to when they were blowing to go to war to panic all their enemies. But right here, the trumpet is going to be to declare God's judgment on mankind. Or a battle cry. Yeah, you could definitely say that. But it's definitely during the tribulation period. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right.
Pastor, I got a question.
Yeah.
Because it does say that when he opened that seventh seal, then was the silence.
Yes.
So maybe they realized with the opening what was fixing to happen, which caused the whole, you know, the whole heaven to get quiet.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we just talked about.
What was fixing
absolutely. To happen. Absolutely. When he pulled that seventh seal, could you... You guys got a good mind's eye?
It's the beginning.
Okay, I've got a radio here. I'm going to turn it up loud as it'll go. We're praising. We're singing victory and loud. And the seals pull. Whoop.
Yep.
It's beautiful.
You know,
because they know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
They know what's coming.
Well, and the other interesting thing is it says it gives us a time, about a half hour, in a place that is not bound by time.
Not bound by time. See, John is doing his best to describe to us, but it is not the reality, I'm just telling you. Because there's no time in heaven.
Wow.
So John's just going,
That was about
30
minutes.
It's about
30
minutes.
Couldn't check his time, Max.
I like the fact that, you know, God let us in that it was, you know, a little, it was a significant.
Yeah.
Yes, 30 minutes of silence is... Striking, man. All right, verse 3 through 6. Then another angel. All right, another angel having a golden censer. This is Beverly's favorite verse in this chapter coming up. All right, follow me very, very closely. Then another angel. We already had one angel, right?
Yep.
Who was giving out seven trumpets,
seven
right?
Seven angels. We've had seven angels.
Okay,
this is another angel.
Okay, another angel. A different angel. Having a golden censer. What would that golden censer look like? Would it be hanging on a golden chain, maybe? Yeah. Or would it be in his hand? Would it be on the table of incense?
On a rock.
maybe.
Came and stood at the altar. So he has this. Listen, he has it in his hand, this golden censer.
Oh.
And he comes and he stands at the altar. All right? Follow me. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, you and I went through Hebrews line by line, verse by verse. Remember what the writer of Hebrews said? He said the temple here on earth was just a copy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a copy of the temple in heaven. That's why Moses was given such specific
very, very specific details
of how it was to be built and presented. Amen? All right. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Can you guys see that? Angel comes. He's walking up. He's got a censer. He's coming to the altar of God. And in that, is incense. He's given much incense and the prayers of the saints. That's you and me, right?
Yep.
And they're what? In the smoke of the incense. Yep. Follow me. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth.
Good grief.
Oh, my God. And there was noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepare themselves to sound. I just see the trumpets all coming up at one time.
Yep.
Right?
Thunder and rumblings and flashes, yes, and earthquakes.
So we know that incense represents prayers, right? Associated in the Bible. The idea is that incense is precious, right? Pleasant, and drifts to heaven, and so do our prayers. Am I right? So here, before anything happens, at the opening of the seventh seal, the prayers of God's people come before God. I want to remind you of something. What was the phrase used by the martyrs who were?
Well, I was just going to ask you, are those the prayers of those, like, God, avenge us?
Are those the prayers? Yes. I mean, are they your prayers? Yes. Are they their prayers? Yes, because it says the prayers of God's people. So listen to me. Listen to me, man. This should remind you and encourage you just how much power your prayers have.
Amen.
Your prayers have power.
Yep.
What does the Bible say? The prayer
of a righteous man avails much.
But I mean, in this particular instance, that's where I'm trying to. Is it this prayer of the martyrs, right? All of us.
Yes.
Like, yes, Lord. Yes. Please, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord. Right.
Yeah, because when it's
time to avenge our death.
Would it be fair for me to say, when we looked at all these multitudes around the throne, that the martyrs who were under the throne would have been included in that?
Yes. So I mean, I think it's signifying, yes, like God, yes, is now going to avenge us.
Yes. So it said the prayers of His people. Am I right?
Yep.
And the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
So, is it what saints?
Both. Us.
So what prayers?
All
of them that made it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You think all your prayers make it?
No.
I mean, make it is not a good description, Emma, is it?
Huh? They all get there.
It's not all that were answered yet.
But I think you understand what I'm saying. You know, the prayers prayed in vain, prayers prayed in selfishness, prayers prayed, you know, in greed. I mean, God cannot not hear something. But He is certainly not going to react to or answer those types of prayers.
It will always be a question.
Those prayers ain't in there, is what I'm trying to tell you. All right? But I want you to see something. Because it seems, if you read here, that the prayers of God's people, that's you and me, mm-hmm, are the ones that set in motion the consummation
of all history.
Wow. Man, we should pray a little different probably.
Yep.
Amen? Man, because our prayers are more powerful than we think. All right, then the angel took the censer. He takes that censer, which represents the prayers, right, of God's people, and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it to the earth. Can you fix that in your head?
Yes. Yep.
You can?
Oh, yeah. Like a meteor shower like you've never seen.
Roger Clemens. Mm-hmm. Those of you don't know, he's a pitcher. All right.
So there is baseball in hell.
No, it's pickleball.
Way to go.
All right, listen. How many times have you prayed for the resolution of all things?
Amen.
How many times have you said, come, Lord Jesus, come?
Amen.
And you meant daily. It in the daily. Deepest daily. Part of your soul. Yes. I'm telling you, those prayers are right here in this censer.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
And those prayers have a meaning.
They are not falling on deaf ears.
No, they are not falling on deaf ears. And God is answering your prayer, and He's answering, and He's beginning to that prayer. You say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. This is the beginning right here.
Yep.
This is the beginning. How many more prayers does He need? I don't know, but you better start praying.
I'm not going
to stop. Right? All right, so as God's people pray for the resolution of all things, their prayers were touched by the fire from the altar, right? And then thrown back to the earth.
Wow.
Now listen, we pray for things. God takes them, got them in a censer. It's dipped in the fire of the altar. And the prayers that we prayed are thrown back to the earth. To me, that's a picture of God answering our prayers. Because don't think I haven't ever prayed, Lord, please. I know vengeance is yours, Lord, but please take it on some of these wicked, wicked people.
Amen. Yep.
Wicked, wicked yep. people.
Yep.
Wicked people who are cutting up our children. Yep. Come on.
Yep.
I mean, are you serious?
Yep.
Man.
They did the same thing back in the Bible days, too, you know. Old
yep.
Testament.
Yeah.
Exactly what they did.
All right, so all things here will not be resolved on this earth until judgment comes, right? And when the prayers of God's people come back to the earth, they bring judgment. They don't just bring judgment, they bring noises and thunderings and lightning and earthquakes. All right, the last part of that says, so the angels who had seen... So all that happens with our prayers and they get cast to the earth. Then the angels, now that had the seven trumpets, prepare themselves to sound. So that was the prerequisite to the angels with the trumpets preparing to sound. Amen. So six seals were opened one by one. When he opened the seventh seal, it set in motion the seven trumpets that will sound upon the earth. Amen. So listen, let me ask you this. Are the seals and the trumpets and the bowls sequential?
Yes.
Is there any reason for us to believe that God is not doing the seals? Boom. The trumpets? Boom. The bowls. Is there any reason? Because right here, there's a lot of people who believe that there's years between them.
No.
But I want you to see, as he pulled the seventh seal, bam.
The trumpets are there.
The trumpets are handed out.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no window. You'd have to twist a lot of things around.
It took about a half hour, though.
Yeah.
Man, so the seventh seal actually contains the seven trumpets. Am I right?
Yes.
Man, that's a beautiful picture. All right, so if they are sequential, I want you to see this. We've already seen chaos break out on the earth, right?
Ooh.
So you got the seven seals, and now they're done. We're fixing to get the seven trumpets, and we're going to have seven bowls, too. Why is God stretching this thing out for 7 years?
Is that not amazing to you?
That God's going to do seven seals and seven trumpets and seven bowls to give people an opportunity to still be saved.
144,000 people witnessing. He's got the two witnesses. He's got angels flying around singing songs. I mean, everything that's happening in the midst of the chaos is pointing to him. I think the even more sad, just awful part is in the very end, they're still cursing God.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're going to see that. We're going to see that during the trumpets.
Yes. Pastor, it's the same thing he's been doing all along. He's been giving time and time and time and time.
Yes, he gives all of us time.
Save some remnants.
He gives all of us time. He knocked on my heart for 15 years. I don't know why he would give me 15 years. Why, Lord, you give me wretched, wicked dude that I was, man?
Because he knew that's how long
because
it would take.
From the beginning. Because he's a merciful God.
Amen.
And like you said, Brenda, he don't want any to perish. He came to save sinners, and that's what he wants to do.
Amen.
All right, let's look at the first trumpet. Actually, the rest of this chapter is going to be the four trumpets. All right, 8:7. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up.
There you go.
Huh? Here we go. Now I kind of see what that silence for 30 minutes was in heaven. As we go through these trumpets, you're really going to see.
Yeah.
Because really, it's going to get very, very, very bad. So hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. That is just hard for me. Chris, you got anything on that? mingled with blood. Was it the hell and the fire together, maybe, that created this blood-looking thing? Because, but it says hell and mingled with blood. Maybe the blood represents an opportunity to be saved. But I never could figure out why the hell and the fire was mixed with blood. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are going to die. Yeah. Half of the flesh is in the blood.
Oh, no, no, no. A third of the people are going to die, yeah. There's no.
Maybe that's where the blood got.
I mean, do you think it's... Yeah,
it's like a
buckshot. Yeah. When those people but get this is, with the hell.
This is, it says hell and fire followed, mingled with blood. So it's not after it hits. Mm-mm. It's coming with it.
I mean, could the hail... I'm thinking like blood of the a rainstorm, right? You have hail and rain. The blood is the rain. Hail...
Yeah? I mean, anybody? Anybody?
Anybody?
Jason?
It just could be the sheer, like I say, we can't wrap our head. I think we got to remember going into this, too. We've already had 2 billion people on the earth are dead and gone before this even hits. We've already lost a quarter of the population.
Yes, absolutely.
But, why? We try to wrap our finite brains around, oh, maybe it just means, no, there's no reason. That's not full on. Think about how terrifying it would be, not all that other stuff, but just getting pelted with literal blood.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's no reason that this can't be a literal
absolutely. No, I take it literal.
This is going to be the most terrifying stuff that's ever hit.
Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean I don't believe that it happened. It will be. I just don't personally understand that any... There's not an explanation that I can give you that I can say, hey, that's what
we
it is.
We don't need one. It says hail, fire, mixed with blood. There you go.
Yeah. All right. A third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up because of this hail... And this fire, the grass is destroyed. One third of the vegetation is burned up. Am I right? During the Great Tribulation period. Now, many people wonder how will this happen. Well, it sounds like a meteor, doesn't it? It actually does sound like a meteor. It could be nuclear fallout. Some people say.
Or a big sensor full of fire.
I mean, these ideas. Listen, all I know is it's going to happen.
Well, and we have to remember. Don't forget the whole Earth. It's not. Location, right? It's not in a it's happening to the entire world simultaneously.
Yes. Yeah. All right. What's amazing here is while all this is happening, I want you guys to know they know who's doing it. They know who's doing it. They know it is God doing it.
Yep.
All right.
That's why they curse him.
And we'll see that in the upcoming chapters, the upcoming verses. They will actually know and they will curse God for doing it. So we're going to go to verses 8 and 9. The second trumpet brings a plague from the sea. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. Did you hear what he said? He said something like. He didn't say a great mountain. He said something like a great mountain with burning fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships were destroyed. Man, this is chaos right here. Again, it sounds like a meteorite, doesn't it? All right, a third of the sea became blood, a third of the living creatures is dead, a third of the ships were destroyed. So that's chaos at its finest. All right, let's look at the fourth one. Because I don't need to explain this to you. It's pretty simple.
Yep.
He's saying, hey,
it is.
Here it comes. It's not going to work out too good for you.
Everything so far was
a third.
Great God created things until the ships, those are man-created.
Yep.
Built.
Yep. So then the third angel sounded, a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. Man, it's three torches, am I right?
Yeah.
And it fell on a third of the rivers and the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became Wormwood. What does Wormwood mean? It means bitter. Yes. And men died from the water.
What did they use Wormwood for?
Because it was made bitter.
What was Wormwood used for?
It was a bitter. It was a bitter.
It was also sick. Used to wean the babies from the mother.
Wormwood what? So wormwood is a very bitter substance.
Yep.
So just by the definition of wormwood, the water would become bitter. But not only did it become bitter, it actually killed people.
Poison.
Poison. It was poison, yes. So a third of the rivers, a third of the waters were decimated. So the proportion right now up to this point of ecological disaster stays the same, doesn't it? What is it? It's a third. In each of the trumpets, a third of a specific ecological system is destroyed in the judgment. Let's look at the fourth trumpet. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe to the inhabitants of earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. You listen, whenever, woe is never good. All right? So it says a third of the day did not shine, right? And likewise the night. So this does not describe a third of the lessening of light. Are you following me?
Yeah.
It means that there was a third less sunlight.
Daylight.
Darkness. Because if you right now, if you blacked out a third of the sun, then you would only have two-thirds of daylight in a day. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
It's important. It's important that we kind of see that. Remember, Jesus told us too in Matthew 24, the sun will be darkened and the moon will lose its light. All right, so the angels' woes are well-founded here because one-third of the earth's population will die in the next two trumpets, three trumpets.
Yep.
Amen? So what are your observations here of the first four trumpets?
A lot of them remind you of the plagues on Egypt. Eerily similar.
Yeah, warnings. He kept telling them. He warns them. They know where it's coming from. They got to.
They know where it's coming from.
And he's trying to say.
We'll read those verses.
Listen up.
We'll read those verses. All right, so the fifth trumpet and the sixth trumpet. Man, these are terrible trumpets. They really are. In the fifth trumpet, the locusts come from the bottom of the pit.
Yeah.
But they can't eat any vegetation. The only thing they can do is torment man. And the Bible says they got stingers like scorpions.
And they can't kill them.
They can't kill them. And they got stingers like scorpions, man. But listen, it does say in there, too, that they cannot attack the ones who have the seal on their forehead.
Yep.
And then the seventh trumpet, there's four angels who come up from the Euphrates River, right? And they are tasked with killing literally a third of mankind.
Whatever's left.
Huh?
A third.
Now, what's cool is in chapter 9 we read that, but the seventh trumpet isn't until chapter 11. Yes, just like the seals, there's some chapters in between, some things happening in between before we get to the seventh trumpet. And the seventh trumpet, what do you think it's going to do?
Maybe open up something else.
Maybe introduce the prologue to the bowls. Now the bowls are real quick because they're all in one chapter. One chapter. Boom, 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 boom. Wow. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. I look forward to digging into that. But we did get through. I told you we get through chapter 8. So we're in 9. We're rolling.
We are rolling.
Are we going too fast?
No.
Just be glad of one thing. You're not going to be there.
Yep.
Two good things that are happening. A, you're not going to be there. And the second thing is people are still getting saved.
Amen.
I mean, come on. That's a win-win situation. Right?
Yep.
I sure hate to wait for that time.
Talk about good news.
All right, we'll be in Genesis chapter 3 and 4. Man, it's hard to keep up.
I know.
And then 1 Samuel chapter
28.
And that's where that's where Saul goes to the witch. I call her the witch in Endor.
Yeah.
Calls up Samuel.
Yeah.
Amen. And who believes that story?
I believe it.
There's no reason not to take that story literal, man. No reason at all.
They were
not
everywhere.
Take that
story. Those people were everywhere. Why wouldn't he?
All right. Any questions, comments? We're gone. Yeah.
It's familiar. The story is familiar to the plagues in Exodus. That's like the closest things I can get to the description of what it would look like if they said took place in the early stories of Exodus when God commanded the plagues. So this is still John's perspective on what it would look like. So blood gives us like an accurate transmission of his perspective,
yep,
like of what he thinks. So when you think of like a lot of blood, you think of like overwhelming, right? Like a lot of blood, you get there's a lot of emotion, you see a lot of blood, right? So I think that that's kind of like a window to it could very much, like Jason said, be literal blood. There's no reason to discredit that, but at the same time, you know, just a mass amount of blood coming from the sky would overwhelm people. And I think that that's John's.
That's true.
That's John's perspective.
Well, wouldn't it? If you were outside playing baseball and all of a sudden blood started falling on you from the sky, I got that workout.
Well, and you can't deny what blood is, right? They can be like, oh, that's just rain. Oh, you know, like the people who don't believe are still going to be looking at these things from a skeptical perspective. Oh, we got hit with a meteor. Oh, that's not like God's literally saying, I'm throwing fire at you. And the people around us are going to be looking at it without the idea of, or the understanding of what's actually taking place. So
just remember, everything we read is going to happen.
So blood starts coming from the sky. They can't. I mean, that's blood, right?
Are you going to be on the right side of it?
Me?
I don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not
going to
be there.
Close us out, man.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you thanking you for this day, thanking you for your graciousness, thanking you for your love and your mercy. Lord, as we go about this day, we ask that we are a light and salt, that we lead others to you, Lord, that we just continue to open those doors in our lives that you lead us to, that we reach out, that we love one another, that we continue to pour out your praise, Lord. You are worthy of all honor, glory, and praise. We ask that that be a constant in our lives, that we not forget to do that. Mm-hmm. We ask, Lord, that you help us to pray always, Lord. We ask that you bless this congregation, bless the people that made it here today and the people that didn't. We ask for specific prayers of healing for our friends and our family, Lord. We just thank you for all that you do for us, and we continue to just be thankful to come here and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.